Genesis this morning. If you'll look there with me, this is Genesis 49. Just a few services back, we preached from the life of Joseph, and we're going back there again. There's so much rich truth in the life of Joseph, but we're going to read Genesis 49 and begin reading with verse 22. Genesis 49 and verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bough abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. This is a pronouncement that was given by Jacob over Joseph. Actually, the chapter describes all the blessings given by their father, Jacob, just before he died. He knew he was about to die, and so he pronounces blessing and even rebuke and even cursing upon some of the brethren, some of the of his sons. So it's kind of like the reading of the will before he died and telling them all the things. And really, in the pronouncement that he made, he's describing not only their character, but also he's predicting their future and speaks to them. So it's a good reminder to us that the way we live our life will be our legacy. The way you live out your life is the way you're going to be remembered. It's a difficult thing sometimes, as I have stood in a pulpit to preach funerals, when you knew that the person didn't know God, didn't serve God, and they had no spiritual legacy. That's a tough thing to do. It really is. But you can live your life in such a way as to have a godly legacy to pass on. So Jacob has called all of his sons together one by one. He speaks to them individually. Most of them only get a verse or two. But Judah, who his name means praise, he gets several more verses. And then Joseph gets five verses. And I just read to you the five verses that describe Jacob's pronouncement upon his son Joseph. You see, Joseph was special. You remember that Joseph was special to his father Jacob. Believe it or not, he was a child of his old age. Jacob was probably about 110 years old when Joseph was born. And he spent the first 17 years of Joseph's life, and he loved him and gave to him and showed preference to him in the first 17 years of his life. And then he's stolen away from Jacob. Jacob spends the next several years grieving over Joseph. But then finally, miraculously, he learns that his son Joseph is alive. And he's in Egypt. And he's not only in Egypt, but he is second in command in Egypt. It's the most amazing story. You remember how that when Joseph introduced himself to his brothers, and the Bible says that he ran to them and he kissed them all, which was evidence that he forgave them. He didn't hold any bitterness toward them for all that they had done. He forgave them, and he said, "God did send me before you to preserve life." And then Benjamin, who had never met before, his younger brother, he gave to Benjamin. Not only did he hug and kiss Benjamin, but he gave to him 5 different new outfits, clothes, and 300 pieces of silver. He gave to each one of his brothers a new suit of clothes, a new outfit before they were going to go back to tell their father that Joseph, their brother, was alive. Pharaoh heard what was happening, and he liked it. And so Pharaoh said, when you go back to get your father, I want you to send the Egyptian wagons to get them. And send the wagons to get them. So you can imagine Jacob's experience as he sees all these amazing... I mean, they went to Egypt in their Ford Falcons, and they're coming back in their Escalades. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Amen, the story. And also Pharaoh said, he told them, tell them not to regard their own stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is going to be theirs. And so what he was saying is, don't bring your old stuff. Don't bring your old furniture. Don't bring your old tents. You're going to get down in Egypt, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to preserve you. And Joseph had already told them, I'm going to take care of you. He said, there I will nourish thee. He recognized that the Lord had sent him ahead for that very purpose. Amen. Now, there's a wonderful thing about serving the Lord that you can see in this story, and that is the joy of seeing God's plan unfold. And if you live long enough, then you can look back and review your life, and you can kind of see the plan of God and how that God worked in your life and how it all unfolded, the providential hand of God at work in your life. Praise God for that. But there's some things we're not going to understand in this life. We're going to go to heaven, and we're going to, as the song says, we're going to talk it over in the by and by. We're going to talk with the Lord. The song says, I'll ask the reasons, he'll tell me why. When we talk it over in the by and by. So in heaven, one of these days, one of the many wonderful things about heaven is that we'll have an understanding of all the ways that God was working in our life in ways that we could never comprehend. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand why a missionary named Jeremy Sipe died at age 44 this past week, who had such a vision for Kenya that he went to Kenya, never having been there before, and went to a city that the entire city was filled with drunkards and alcoholics. The children, no education. It was a city, it was like a forgotten town in Kenya. And God sent Jeremy Sipe to that town. That not only did he preach the gospel and establish a church there, but he also helped them and provided ways for them to get off of the alcohol and out of the alcohol business. It was the main business of the city was to make alcohol so they were all just drunkards. And he went in there, and God used him in just a few years to turn that city around. And they had a parade through the city for Jeremy Sipe after he passed away, marching through the city because this young missionary had given himself. I don't understand that. That's something I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven one of these days. Lord, why? Why did you take him when he was 44 years old, when he was in the prime of his work and his ministry? I don't understand that, but I'm going to ask one of these days, and he's going to tell me the reason why. I don't understand why the little Lloyd children, young people, Davy and Natalie, were taken out, dedicated to the work and the ministry of Haiti, gave their life to it, and were doing such an amazing work there. Their heart was to serve the people of Haiti, and that was their vision. I don't understand why it happened. I can't put any rational reasoning or understanding to it, but One of the wonderful things about knowing the Lord is we know we can trust Him. We know He's trustworthy. And the providential hand of God is something that we can trust. We don't know all the reasons why, but one of these days we will. One of these days we will. Praise God for that. And so in the story of Joseph, we see the providential hand of God. And Jacob, who grieved all of those years, spent the first 17 years of his life was with Joseph, and the last 17 years of his life is with Joseph down in Egypt in a specially prepared place for them. Can you imagine the joy in those latter years of Jacob's life, seeing God unfold His wonderful plan for the people, for their people, for Jacob's family? Praise God. Amen. So we see the wonderful hand of the Lord. But notice what Jacob said in his pronouncement about the life of Joseph. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Just a word for tree. He is a fruitful tree. All through the scripture, a tree is a symbol of strength, stability, fruitfulness. There's over 100 references in the scripture to trees. In that respect. And so Joseph, he said, Joseph is a fruitful tree. He saw his life as fruitful. And that should be the desire of all of our hearts. Lord, make me fruitful. Make my life fruitful that I could bear fruit for you. Amen. Colossians 1 and 10 says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. It is the will of God that is men and women of God, saints of God, that we live our lives to bear fruit for God. Amen. To bear fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done in you, unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Praise God. That's the will of God, that we bear fruit. But Joseph, a fruitful tree, who was sent into Egypt's bondage, how could he bear such fruit in such a difficult place? How did he do that? The next part of that verse gives us the answer. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. Praise God. Somehow, along the way, there was this depth of connection that Joseph had with God. He was a fruitful tree planted by a well, which meant that he was planted in a place where he was able to draw from the deep resources that was provided for him through the grace of God. That caused him to be able to be the man of God that he was down there in Egypt. Joseph had tapped into this deep source, this deep hidden source of strength that caused him to be able to be fruitful in a tough, difficult place. Praise God. Amen. I mean, he's sold into slavery. He's a slave in Potiphar's house. But something about him, Potiphar handpicked him and said, you're not just going to be a slave anymore, you're going to be the superintendent of my house. Amen. He was set apart. What was it that set him apart? Well, Genesis 39 and 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And this is a heathen, pagan master. But he saw the hand of the Lord upon his life. It was evident that God's hand was upon him. How did Joseph do that in such a difficult place? Well, he was planted by a well. He was drawing from a deeper source. Amen. It wasn't what was going on around him, but he had a connection with God and was drawing from that wonderful resource, that deep well of God's grace and God's mercy and God's goodness.
in his life, and it was obvious even to the Egyptians that God was with him. So he went from being a slave to a superintendent. Potiphar put everything in his hands. It says that he didn't even know what was going on in his house. He so trusted him that he put it all into Joseph's hands. And everything that he did was prospering in the house of Potiphar. His flocks, his fields, his wealth, his household, everything was prospering. And how did that happen? Well, because Joseph was a fruitful tree. And he was planted by a well. He was drawing from this wonderful source. And you can do the same thing. Let me tell you, you can be the godly person, the godly example, the godly witness in a wicked and a dark world. If you'll get a hold of God, if you'll get a deep experience with the Lord, and your life can be planted by a well, your life can be planted by a spring of living water whereby you can draw from that source, even in a foreign world, a foreign land, a foreign culture. Everything about it was pagan and everything about it was foreign, but yet Joseph was able to reach and to touch the lives of people that were there. Let me just insert this right here. Last night, there was an event out at the park honoring tornado victims, and they had contacted my wife about some of our choir coming and being a part of a bigger choir to sing some songs out there. And so they went, 13 of our choir members went and were a part of, actually, if they hadn't went, there wouldn't have been a choir. But thankfully they went. I just want to say to all you young ladies that went, your pastor was so proud. I was so proud of you. I mean, what a godly example you were. What a witness you were. And sometimes it's a little tough to be the godly person in a foreign land. When you're out there in the world, sometimes you feel like, I don't really fit in. I don't fit in this place. But let me tell you, God positions you and places you in a place. And all you young ladies, oh, and Brother Jonathan as well. I'm proud of you, Jonathan. Who? Jace? I didn't know Jace was there. Let's go, Jace. Jace was hiding behind Carly, I guess. Thank God for all of these that went. Those folks haven't seen so many skirts and so much hair in a long time. Praise God. Glory to God for that. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to stand for God, but if you'll get a hold of God, if you'll dig into a deeper well, get a hold of something from God, then you're going to be able to be the witness that God wants you to be in this foreign world that we live in right now. And that's what Joseph did. He was in Potiphar's house, and it was his integrity, his purity, his honesty. Even when Potiphar's wife tempted him again and again, he said, how can I do this wickedness against my God? I can't do that. He was firmly fixed in his conviction and his purity, and it sent him to prison because of it. But even in prison, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Praise God. I'm telling you what we need to do is we need to be planted by a well. We need to be planted in such a place that we can draw from the deep, wonderful resources that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He was close to that divine source that can keep you in the worst of times and the most challenging and difficult of times. Romans 11 and 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Glory to God. Amen. There is a depth and a blessing. I want you to notice the rest of this message here. The archers were sorely grieved and shot at him.
which is just a picture of all of the trials that he faced. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. Talking about the limbs of the tree remaining strong, were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. It's the Hebrew word Elohe, and it just means the stone, the God of our stone, or the God our rock. Praise God. The God our right. And it's just describing that Joseph was able to remain strong. No matter what he was going through, he could remain strong because he was on a deep foundation. He had struck rock. He was standing on a firm foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And because of that, God was blessing his life. Amen. You honor the Lord with your life. You give to the Lord your life. You sacrifice and you honor the Lord with your life. And let me tell you, the blessings will come your way. It may not always be in you know, financial terms, but it'll come in so many ways. God is a God who blesses faithful people. Amen. That's what verse 25 is describing. Even the God of the Father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty Mighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lieth under. You say, I'm going to bless you from above. This is like descriptive of rain falling from above, and from beneath, I'm going to bring up the dew. I'm going to bless you in every direction. I'm going to bless your life if you'll just be faithful to me. And then I'm going to bless the blessings of the breast and of the womb. And it's talking about your children and your family and the generations to come. I'm going to bless you, Joseph. I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to bless your children and your children's children and the generations that are to come. I'm going to take care of them. Glory to God. What an amazing promise that was given to Joseph on that day from his father, Jacob. You know, Joseph, even in prison, he was not self-serving. He wasn't thinking of himself. One of the verses that describes that he comes in one day and he speaks to the butcher and the baker and says, why are you looking so sad today? I mean, he's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of these other prisoners and all that he is. If you get a hold of something from the Lord, if you get a hold of a depth of relationship with Jesus, if you get planted by a well, if you get situated on a solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect blessing and favor and God's goodness all the days of your life. God will work in your life. If you live faithful to God, he will bless you, and even all the generations before you and all those that are to come will be receive the blessing of the Lord. That's what Jacob is saying to Joseph. The last part of verse number 22 is, the verse says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. He's a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And that's what I'm preaching about today. That's why I went all through that to get to this. Reaching beyond the walls. Reaching beyond the walls. He was saying to Joseph, Joseph, you're not just taking care of your little family, or not even just your nation, but through you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Through you, it's going to be extended beyond the wall. You know that we, as Christians, living in the world we live in right now, the culture we live in right now, we really have to fight against being self-focused, don't we? Be honest. You have to fight against that. But that's not the spirit of Christ. That's not the spirit of a Christian, to be all focused on yourself or on your needs or your problems. We tend to do that. But if you really are going to be a fruitful bough that reaches beyond the walls, you can't just think of yourself.
You have to think of others. You have to recognize that that God has called us to make an impact in our world. That's what Jesus did. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. So that's the life. This is what he's pronouncing over Joseph. You're going to be a fruitful tree planted by a well. It's going to reach beyond the walls. It's going to extend beyond the walls. And that's the call of God that you and I have today. To be a witness, to show love, to show compassion, to give generously, to go forth and to be used of God, to get outside of the four walls of your house, to get outside. And it's important. Family's important. I'm not minimizing the value and the importance of family, but your responsibility before God goes way beyond just your family. Our responsibility as a church goes way beyond just what happens here in this building. As a church, we have a responsibility to not only be blessed, but to be a blessing. Genesis 12:2. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That was the commandment of God for the children of Israel. It's extended to you and I here today. We have been blessed of the Lord. Thus, we have a responsibility to be a blessing. Amen. Yes, we do. We have a responsibility to be a blessing. And that's the mindset that we need to have as believers, to recognize that we have a responsibility beyond our own world, beyond our little circle in our family or in our church, but we have a responsibility beyond the walls. And that's what Jacob is saying to Joseph. Your impact is going to go way beyond the walls. You're going to have an impact upon the lives of people. Too often we get really self-consumed. We want the church service to, I want to receive. I want to be blessed. Bless me. Encourage me. Speak to me. Talk to me about my needs and my problems. And that happens, I understand, in the presence of God, and the word of God edifies and strengthens the people of God. Certainly it does. But that's not where it stops. The ultimate heart of God is that we reach beyond our own lives, that we reach out to others, that we be used of God to touch the lives of people for the glory of God, that souls that don't know the Lord and maybe have never heard about Jesus, that God is calling us to reach far beyond the walls. Amen. I know you know about the Jordan River flowing into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet. It's the saltiest body of water in the world, 10 times as salty as the ocean. It's 31 miles long, 9 miles wide. It has an average of 188 feet in depth. The deepest point is 997 feet deep. Now this is deep. But the Jordan and other tributaries flow into the Dead Sea, but don't flow out. And so there's this accumulation of salt and other things that accumulate there. Nothing can live there. No plant life can live even in close proximity to the Dead Sea. That's why it's called dead. It is dead. And what a picture it is of the life that never pours out. What a picture it is of a life that's self-consumed. Lord, deliver us from being self-centered and self-focused. Amen. Glory to God. I don't have a lot of patience with people that give a $10 bill on a missions offering but spend $1,200 on an iPhone. Ooh. I've got a problem with that. That's why I have an iPhone 8. It's old. And There has to be a determination that I'm gonna be a fruitful tree planted by a well that is extending and reaching beyond the walls, touching the lives of as many people as we possibly can for the glory of God. Hallelujah. There was a woman that came to Jesus. She had an alabaster box of ointment. She broke it and she poured it out upon Jesus as worship to the Lord. It was valued at approximately 1 year's wages. So this wasn't done on a whim. This was precious. This was saved for this special occasion to the day she had the encounter with Jesus. But the disciples, they were angry. Why are you wasting all this? Why did you pour this all out? Why did you give so generously? And Jesus said, let her alone. She knows the spiritual significance of what she is doing. Leave her alone. The Bible says that whithersoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial to her. And that's happening right now in this service. Amen. We're remembering that she saw the value of serving Jesus. She saw the value of pouring out something so precious and so valuable for the Lord. And you and I are called of God to be a fruitful tree, to be planted by a well, and to pour out beyond the walls. Pour out, pour out, pour out. That's the call of God. That's the call. That's the essence of ministry, isn't it? It really is. Ministry is not just standing in a pulpit. Ministry is not just filling a role or a position. Ministry is service to the kingdom. Ministry is pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And God pours in and you pour out. Don't be a dead sea. Don't be lifeless, but be filled with the Spirit and be filled with the life and the blessing of the Lord in your life as you pour out and out and out again and again and again. God will bless you. That's what Jacob saw in the life of Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. May God speak to us today through his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to bear fruit. You have called us, Lord, to a deeper relationship with you, to tap into that wonderful grace and blessing that is ours, Lord, because we know you. And Lord, you have called us to be a fruitful tree that extends beyond the wall, Lord, that is used mightily of you, Lord, to reach beyond the church, beyond our own families, and to reach out to people that are desperately in need of the gospel. Use us, Lord, today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand together.